to you this morning, Father, and we are so thankful for giving us your Son to die for our sins, Lord. So as we sing these Christmas songs, Lord, we just want to rejoice and be thankful for God. We just give you this morning, we give you this day, and we just love you. Amen.
Amen. Help us to be sincere and be true, and help us not to be hypocrites, Father. I give you this day, Lord, and I just pray that we have open hearts and open ears. Amen.
Bible, please raise your hand if you need one.
All right, well, we have a couple of ladies things. First, before I forget, from Heidi and Joel. Thank you, George. From Heidi and Joel, for those of you, thank you very much for those of you who have been praying for their daughters and also for their baby. 1.5 pounds, their granddaughter's baby, 1.5 pounds, the baby is safe. And mom is safe.
Praise God.
So praise the Lord. That. Yes, praise the Lord. Yeah. They so just wanted to convey a thanks. They were here Thursday night, and it was a really, it's just such a Holy Spirit led night Thursday. And they were like, you know, and not only that, you know, they just wanted to say thank you to this body for just praying for them. And, you know, 1.5 pounds. They're so grateful. But not only that, but someone, they live in Washington. So, someone had also bought them plane tickets so that they could go and be with their daughter and their granddaughter when the baby comes home. Yeah. So they just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your blessings. I feel so bad now. We're leaving. We just got here. We found our own. We'll be back in 3 weeks. Don't worry about it. So they just want to make sure they communicated that to you guys. Couple other things too. We got lots of Panera loaves back there. If you're still here, we just want to give it to you free in Jesus' name. So we feed you physically and feed you spiritually the bread of life. So also, this is kind of cool. If anybody has a better picture, somebody sent this picture. There was about 15 of our kids, either from our church or our school, Christian Circle, Christian Arts Academy. They do art, dance, acting, filmmaking, media graphics, and of course that handsome young boy there. I will tell you who that is. That's me and my son. No, yeah. But anyway, it's really great just to see so many kids from the school and the church. They did a great job. I think I actually saw Olivia breakdancing. I don't know if she's doing that. She actually was doing that hip hop. That was pretty amazing. Kind of freaked me out though watching her do it. I'm like, oh, God! It's a great act. It was just a lot of fun. And so I just wanted to encourage kids. You can't even see it. This is just what somebody sent me. But there's like a whole other group over here that didn't make it in the picture. And so if anybody has another picture that encompasses the whole group, send that to me. But anyway, it's just so great to see little kids doing that. And it was awesome to see them. Also, Amanda, Panda, and Josh, if anybody needs, anybody would like to help with meals, just a way to bless their family. I think we're bringing one tomorrow. But I think we've been bringing them meals faithfully for weeks. Thank you for that, you guys, for doing that. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. But we still need some help this week. So if a couple more people can sign up, either talk to Rebecca or speak to me, and we'll let you know. And so it's pretty amazing. So hopefully they'll be back soon. I did hear that they might be.
Okay.
So we'll see. Okay, also Winter Jam, don't forget, Saturday, January 14th, $10. You guys know about that. 10th Avenue North, Colby Dixon, 1,000-foot crutch. David Crowder Band, Britt Nicole, you guys know about that. George, is there anything you want to say about the Barnabas Prison Ministry this week or no? If you do, grab the microphone by Nate. If not, there's no pressure.
Actually, I don't have the list with me.
Okay.
I couldn't find it.
Okay.
For whatever reason.
No problem.
But I think everybody that's wanting to send cards has already sent them.
Okay.
And I do believe if anybody still has cards, has a name to send, you've got till Tuesday to get them out, and they still will be delivered in time for them to get them for Christmas.
That's cool. And that's just for folks who are in, some of them that are in for life, and it's just reaching people, you know, wherever they're at for the Lord. And so, okay, great. Also, guys, just a reminder, our Christmas Eve service, we're having a Christmas Eve service and family dinner. It's going to be here, Dinner in the Word, at Home Fellowship Church between 5 and 7. I tried to get Woody's Barbecue up. It was voted down. That's okay. So we're going to have something else. But if anybody would like to bring, I think they're bringing deli stuff in here, so it should be a really good time. We're just going to have dinner, and then Josh is going to bring us the Word, the Christmas Word. So I always like it when he teaches. And so we're doing that Saturday evening, 5 to 7. If somebody wants to help bring cookies, Gary, if anybody would mind bringing tray of cookies or something like that, a few of you in, that would be nice if we have some desserts. Is that right, Gary? Okay, good. Anything else you want me to say?
Just explain the Woody's. We figured barbecue and kids and how they dress is probably more than good than that.
Why about boys? What do we know? We just eat and smother on ourselves.
It's not even about this work. It's how they dress. It's like, no way, this board would be destroyed.
Well, that's a good point. Barbecue snobs. Okay, fair enough. Whatever, you guys win. Whatever. Okay, so there's no service on Sunday because we have that Christmas Eve service. So, you know, if you show up here on Sunday, you know, then you're leading the service. If there's anybody else here, you just bless them. But we're doing that, so Saturday evening service, okay? Also, equipping the saints, that's what we do here. And so we want you to grow in the Lord. There's sermons online that that missionary couple that just started coming, I guess they've been listening online for a while. And decided that this is their where their home needs to be once they got here. They're like, wow, this really is home. And so that's there for you if you miss any. And Gary, I did listen to your giving message, and it was very good. And you know what was really neat about that message when I was gone is even the scriptures that were missing, I had other people from the body chimed in and brought the word in. And so it was a great message. So, okay. Also, Loner Library, we've got Christian books, audio CDs, DVDs you can take home free in the Loner Library. It's the last door on the left, all the way down the hall. And so if anybody would like to serve in some way in ministry, we would love to have help you help that little Loner Library. A lot of people use it. And so it's just another way for help you guys grow. But if you'd like to do that, please come see me or see Miss Susie. Yes? Also, okay, I keep giving more of these away, and every time I give away on Thursday or Sunday, people want more. Okay, so every time I buy a bunch, thinking that's enough. This is the book, Dreams and Visions. A lot of people have been sharing what a blessing that is and how they're growing from it. So every time I run out, I get a few more, and then a few more people want them. So I have four more. If anybody will read this book and grow from it, it's just how God is, Jesus is awakening the Muslim world through dreams and visions. If anyone would like a copy that hasn't got one, just raise your hand. I'll bring one to you. If not,
Anna would.
Okay. You just got to read it now.
Oh,
okay.
She will.
You can read good. Okay. There you go. One hand goes up. Now I'll read it. Okay, good. You can keep one.
Thank you.
There you go. I need to go. Oh, sorry.
It is.
No. All right. Awesome. Okay. Also, I just love how we give this stuff away free in Jesus' name so we can grow in the Lord. Also, if anybody needs a CD about God's sovereignty and man's responsibility, raise your hand. We've given off a zillion of those away. Anybody else want one? No? All right, and last but not least, I think we made a zillion of these last time. This was a great message that I heard from Dr. Tony Evans. He's a great teacher, man. He's one of my faves. Anyway, he's with the Urban Alternative, and he did probably one of the best teachings I've ever heard on race, culture, and Christ. Right now, you know, there's a lot of people very divided, you know, and, you know, it's just silly for believers. And anyway, he addresses this, some tough subjects on race and culture and Christ. It's probably one of the best messages I've ever heard. And so we handed them all away. It's an audio message, about 48 minutes, and we ran out. And we made a ton of them. I don't know, maybe 30, 40 messages. So if you did not get one of these and you want one, would you raise your hand, please? Okay, good. And Jessica, anybody else? Go twice? Okay, hey, Elijah, could you do me a favor? There's a lot. Would you go around and deliver that? Anybody want one, put up your hand, and Elijah will bring one to you. It's a fantastic message, the best message I've ever heard. Probably on race. Yes.
Have you heard of the Christian Compassion Project?
Yes, I have. Actually, Heather sent me that.
Would you recommend it, or as far as that?
Well, you know what? I have. She sent me the link, and we had problems with it. I just watched a video of it last night at probably 10. So I have to look at it a little bit more. So I'll let you know probably in the next week. Yeah. Thank you for bringing it up, though. Okay, last but not least. People wanted this. After Miss Erica said what she said last week, a whole bunch more people wanted it, and we gave them all away again. So this is Frank Freddy's book, This Present Darkness. Anyone else? Any takers?
I
God. Yes. In Jesus' name. Okay, good. Anybody want this? Present Darkness? Dave? One of the best books giving a picture of spiritual warfare ever read. Okay, anybody else? You got it. Love it.
We know that.
Love it, love it, love it. Ready? Yes. Okay, I'll let James catch. Okay. All right, anybody else? Okay. And we run out again.
I'm collecting go to Oregon.
Love it. Okay, let's, I think that's it. Is there anything that I've forgotten?
Awesome.
Thank you, girls, for the Christmas party. There's about 19 women here. And so glad you guys came to the girls, the PJ and Blaine Christmas party. This week, men's Bible study.
Yes, sir.
And Samuel, any topic in general? The Bible?
Yeah, well, it's 2 Samuel 6.
Okay, great. And that's 6 p.m.? Okay.
And we're going to have Luke Park.
Okay, good.
To make up for what we don't have.
Oh, I like that. Yes?
What about the men's Christmas party?
Yeah, what about the men's Christmas party?
They can do that.
2 Samuel 6.
Okay, so guys, you're invited. If you want to have some barbecue, we get here about 5:30 for younger people. We have to play frisbee, and then then 6 p.m. for dinner, barbecue.
And no pajamas.
And yeah, no pajamas and no bling.
Just boxers.
Yes. I just threw up a little bit actually when you said that. Okay. And also, now guys, on the Thursday night barbecue Bible study. Man, last week was such a blessing, man. The Holy Spirit changed the whole message, and it was amazing. So, God just had a message, but we're not having it this Thursday because we're doing the Jingle Bell or the Jingle 5K Run Walk at Lakewood Ranch. So, there won't be any barbecue Bible study this week. And last but not least, Kingdom Living Group Forward.
What time is it?
What?
What time is it?
The 5K run.
Yeah, what time is it?
Or walk. Starts at 7, but it's staggered time depending on how fast, slow, or if you're walking.
So if you're slow like me,
there.
Okay.
Beforehand.
Okay. About 6 or something
yeah,
like
that. Yeah,
that'd be okay. Cool. All right. And then Kingdom Living at Sue Berger's house and at 7 p.m. on Friday. Okay. I think that's it. We are in the book of Romans. We just finished Romans chapter 9. We talked a lot about God's sovereignty and man's free will. We are in Romans chapter 10, and we went through, man, I don't know how many verses the last hour last week.
Two.
What?
Two.
Two? Well, they were really good verses, though.
Yeah.
All right. So why don't we read, maybe I should let Adam read, those of you who were here last Sunday. Adam, would you read the first two verses while I'm turning there, or while we're turning there, if you don't mind? I'll give you a little bit of time.
Oh,
yeah, Romans chapter 10, verses 1 to 2.
Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge.
Well, that was an hour, huh?
Go on to the next one, because that makes more sense.
Yeah. Well, this is basically what he's saying here. You know, there's a lot of people that were attacking, you know, Paul. God was trying to tell the Jewish people, man, hey, God still loves you. He's opened it up to the Gentiles. Yes, he's calling people. Yes, he's choosing people. Yes, he does that. He's sovereign. He's the sovereign Lord of all. But, you know, there's also man's responsibility. And God hasn't forgot about Israel as well. And those religious people, he said, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer for God is that they may be saved. That was his heart's desire. You remember, he actually wished in the previous chapter that he would go to hell if all the people could be saved. And that's such a heart. He wanted us to pray continually. And I was listening to a teaching. You know, God wants us to be in prayer for people continually. You should be praying for one another all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, just... I listened to one teacher who said, you know why you don't have prayer in your life? Because you don't care. And I was like, oh! That was brutal!
Yeah, but that's true.
But there might be some truth to that. Maybe we're not in prayer for others because we're not really caring.
Well, some of them, maybe they just don't have. Yeah, they don't understand, you know.
Absolutely. So God wants us to be in prayer. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in heavenly places. He wants us to make prayers and requests. He wants us to be continually praying for all things. And even he wants us to do this, which only God can do. You know, you remember the Jews would persecute him town to town, slander him, stir up mobs against him, beat him, stone him, you name it. And God wanted us to, he said, Jesus told us, basically in Luke 6:27, to love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who hurt you, and pray for those who mistreat you. Only a saved person, you can only do that with the power of the Lord living inside you. That's not natural. That's supernatural. And so, but Paul was doing that. And you know one of the reasons why somebody brought it up in here? Because Paul was doing the same thing. Do you remember what Paul used to be called?
Saul.
And what did he used to do? Do you remember?
Persecute Christians.
That's right. Yes. He used to persecute Christians. He would go and throw them in prison. He held coats while people were getting stoned. And then God saved them and changed his heart. That's what our God does. He's a heart-changing God. We talked about how prayer changes things, but he also changes me as I pray for others. We talked about far be it from us that we should not pray for you. We talked about being saved. You need the light just for a second. It's not a popular term, but Hebrews 2:3 says, How shall we escape? I might have copied that wrong.
How shall we escape
if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? And salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. Okay? Told about, he even found a way to compliment these guys who were persecuting him, saying they're not lacking in zeal. But, you know, you can have, there's a lot of religious people with zeal, and zeal without knowledge is not good. So God wants us to be zealous if we're believers, but he also says, man, in Proverbs 19:2, it's not good to have zeal without knowledge, or be hasty and miss the way. A lot of folks can have zeal. Religious people are very zealous, aren't they? Mormons, yeah, cults, Mormons, J-dubs. You know, you could have a Baptist, a Catholic, a home fellowship. We can all be religious and not be seeking the Lord. In fact, you guys probably all know religious people, and they're some of the most unloving person, right? People you could ever meet. They do all these things while they're zealous, but they don't have the knowledge. They don't know who he is. And one thing you don't want is just somebody who's zealous. Imagine if you were, one of our kids got strep throat, so I gave it to another one, and so he's home. But imagine if we went to the pharmacist to get antibiotics, and the pharmacist said, man, I am so zealous to get, and whoever was behind the counter, I am so zealous to get you some medication for your son. And just went back there and started grabbing handfuls of stuff. Oh, I'm so excited about it. I'm zealous, and I'm going to grab all this stuff. Here you go. Well, that's not really what I want from a pharmacist. I want to know that I'm getting the right stuff, right? And it's the same thing with religion. You could be as zealous as you want. Some people think murdering others, you know, that's what ISIS thinks. You know, you could be zealous but not know the Lord. And so you want to have knowledge, and so you don't miss the way. Because Jesus said, I am the way. Okay, so here we go. All right, hit that light, Elijah, for me, will you? Thanks. All right, so would somebody read for me verse 3 and 4? Of chapter 10, and then we'll kind of go through verse by verse.
I shall.
You shall. Shall you, Debbie Jo? Yes. Okay.
If they did not know righteousness before God, and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness.
Yeah,
they heard. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes.
Right. So the first one says, verse 3 says, speaking of the Jews, but it could be any of us too who are religious. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God, they sought to establish their own. You know, that's, they didn't know the righteousness comes from God. They sought to establish their own. Wow. That tells me it's very possible. I mean, the religious, those Jews were very religious. But they didn't know the righteousness that comes from God. And so that's a good question for all of us. And I put it up here for a second, but it's a good question. I mean, do you know the righteousness that comes from God? Or are you trying to establish your own righteousness? That's a good question, isn't it? I mean, a lot of people, when I say no, I don't mean no intellectually. Do you know what I mean? Or I don't mean no about, like, facts and figures. I mean, do you know him personally? You know, I remember there was a little kid at your wedding. And, you know, and you know what? I just remember talking to him, and I said, you know, I remember speaking to this little kid. He's, you know, my son was playing with Ezekiel. I don't think he knows Jesus yet. Because we're talking about it. And I said, oh, well, I just saw him. I said, hey, as I was leaving, I said, Jesus loves you. I said, you know that? He said, no. I said, he does. Jesus loves you. No, he doesn't. I said, now maybe I was being immature. Of course, I am immature. I said, yes, he does. No, he doesn't. Yes, he does. No, he doesn't. Yes, he does. How do you know that? I know because I know him. And he looked all confused. You know him? I said, yeah, I do. No, you don't. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I do. I know him personally. You're laughing behind your back when I'm turning away. No, son. Really? I said, but you know what? I said, Jesus is my best friend. I'm not saying that to try to get a little kid to... I'm telling you as an adult, Jesus is my best friend.
Amen.
I know him personally. No, you don't. Yes, I do. I said, you know what, son? I talk to him every day. We have conversations every day with Jesus. He's my best friend. I love him. You're laughing behind my back. No, son, really. I know him. He's my best friend. I talk to him every day. I love him. And he just walked away. Maybe he'll think about it. But, you know, honestly, I do that with adults.
There's a lot of people. Hard to get both of them to come to church. And every Friday, they're like, yeah, we'll be there Sunday.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You know what, guys? Listen, do you know him? Some of us have grown up in religious environments.
I did too.
I'm thankful for it, but I didn't know the Lord personally. I knew about him. There's a life-changing difference between having the knowledge and knowing him personally. God is a life-changing God. To know him personally and intimately will change and alter your thinking, your life, what you do, what you say, your desires, every part of your life. If you really know him, that's who he is. People will come and go, but he will never leave you or forsake you. I want to show you a little video. If I can, it's from a guy, Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. He's an old Baptist preacher who loved the Lord, but I love this little, it's a little clip from an old sermon that he did a long time ago. And anyway, I think it kind of just encapsulates a little bit the message about how important it is to know the Lord Jesus personally and intimately. Because if you do, he will transform your life. If he can transform a religious guy like me, then I'll tell you what, he can transform anybody's life. Amen?
Well,
if not, I'll show it at the end. But yeah, there was another one in there.
I'll have to track that one down.
All right, that's okay. That's cool. That was like,
that was right on top. Is the first one I picked.
Hardcore. Actually, yes, that's my king. It's actually a little sermon, but sometimes folks will put it to, you know, make it, put a little music or put a little whatever. Well, anyway, I'm going to continue on, and just if when you get that, George, you just let me know. And in the meantime, I'm just going to continue on and teach. How do you like it now?
I still like it.
thank you. Okay, so listen. I want everybody, while we're waiting, let's go to Mark chapter 1. Okay, Mark chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, okay? Mark chapter 1, and I think we're going to go to verses, let me say 21, 24. So let me get that myself. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. 21 to 24. Now Jesus, actually I have somebody read that. Somebody mind reading that? Where's the mic? Okay, does somebody mind reading verses 21 to 24?
I'll read it.
We can say, okay. That's fine. We'll get here. I'm okay with that.
21 to 24?
Yeah, 21 to 24, because I want to talk about how it's possible to know Jesus, who Jesus is, and yet not be saved. Okay, go ahead.
They went to Capernaum.
Capernaum. Yep.
And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God."
Now, listen to that. What did this demon who sees Jesus, what does he say? I know who you are. Have you come to destroy us? See, it's possible to know who Jesus is, but not be saved. You understand that? He recognizes Jesus. So when you talk to people, hey, who's Jesus? Oh, he's the Savior of the world. He's the, you know, is he my Savior? Is it personal? The Lord is my shepherd. It's personal. That personal pronoun makes all the difference. It's also possible, I mean, go to, real quick, we're going to come back to Mark, but go to James 2:19. It's coming to mind. So go to James 2:19. James 2:19.
Darren, real quick, I think it was fascinating that was an extra testimony that Christ was who he was saying he was.
Yeah.
So the demon was acknowledging that Jesus is an enemy of the demon.
Yeah.
So other confirmation of his deity, and so many folks miss it.
Absolutely. You know, wouldn't that be amazing? Imagine if somebody just came in here and stood up and said, "Ah, no!" I mean, this is the middle of a church service.
It happened.
Yeah? It did? Okay, so what does James 2:19 say, guys? I'm trying to remember. I don't have it in front of me. So, okay.
You want to read it?
Okay, let me give it to one more.
You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that in shudder.
So listen. It is possible to know Jesus as you saw it in Mark, right? It's possible to believe in who he is, again, yet not be saved. You see? So it's also possible, to know and believe who he is, yet not be saved. It's also possible to recognize this Jesus' power and authority and not be saved. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, I'll just read that to you. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23 says this. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then he will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil one. So it's possible to recognize its power and authority. They were doing, but not be saved. And then finally, it's possible to submit to the authority of Jesus and not be saved.
What does that mean?
Okay, that's a good question. All right, let's go back to Mark. Mark chapter 1. A second. Mark chapter 1. Let's look at verse 25 and 27. So after he says, you know, I know who you are, verse 25 and 27. Hannah, would you mind reading that again and jump down to 25 to 27.
Be quiet, said Jesus sternly. Come out of him. The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this, a new teaching? And with authority, he even gives orders to the evil spirits and they obey him.
So it's possible to know who Jesus is and to believe who he is and recognize his power and authority, and it's possible to submit to his authority, not be saved. This demon had submitted to his authority. Right? It says so right here. But was this demon saved?
No.
So it's possible for you and I to know who Jesus is, to believe he died for our sins, right? It's possible then for you to recognize Jesus' power and authority. It's possible for us to even, like demons, to submit. But what's the difference then? What is the difference between a born-again believer who submitted his life to the Lord? Right here. It's possible to submit to the authority and not be saved. Jesus' authority. So what's the difference between me and a demon? What do you think? What do you think? Yes?
I think it's a matter of the person, individual person, and the reason why they are doing what they're doing.
Okay.
I think that people can stop doing something that's harmful for them, like drinking, like drugs, like stealing. They could hear a Christian tell them, you know, God wants you to stop that. He wants your life to turn around. And they can see that they want to stop that. They want to stop that behavior because they can see that it's harmful to them. And they make every effort to do so. But they're not submitting their life to Jesus Christ. They're doing that act because it benefits them in some way. And a lot of people do that. They stop things or even start things. Or they give things. They may give something to people or do something for somebody. And it benefits them in some way. But it's not a surrender of their life to Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Well, what I was going to say is it's about living it. And I have a quote to share that just kind of piggybacks on that. It says, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door, and deny him by their lifestyle. Amen. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable.
It's possible, folks, to know a lot about it. Somebody else raise your hand? Go ahead. You got a couple back there? I want one of you.
Well, I don't think that the demon was submitting to the Lord.
He did. It says right in there. Now, there's a subtle difference. I'm going to see if you catch it.
Well,
he did, absolutely. He said, come out. He did.
He did because he didn't have a choice.
Oh, wait a minute.
Because submission is a choice.
Wait a minute. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Because here's the deal. It's not. Because this demon was forced. This demon submitted, but not according to his own free
will.
Bingo.
Christ is the king of the universe. He did not have a choice. He told him to get out, and he had to get out.
That's right.
But we, God does not violate our will. He,
no.
He wants us to choose to submit.
That's exactly right. That's the difference. It's a submission, a surrender, whatever words you want to use. The demons are going to, you can submit to his, but are you doing, no, a surrendered life, a born-again life is somebody who willingly puts themselves under the lordship, the authority of Jesus Christ. Right. That demon's doing it, and everybody's going to bow. You know what it says? You're going to submit one way or the other. Every tongue will confess, every knee will bow that Jesus Christ is Lord. What was that? Hey, man, I'm telling you, man, that was weird. But anyway, in Jesus' name, that's going to happen. You could not. Your choice.
That was really strange.
Okay, so yes, go ahead. You wanted to say something.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, the difference. Oh, one of the main differences I was seeing in all of these examples that you've given is these people didn't have a relationship.
Right.
Like how you're always saying it's not a Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. Mm-hmm. And that is something that the demon doesn't have. That's something that non-Christians who believe that Jesus exists and believe that he did come to save the world, but they don't have that personal relationship with him.
Yes, good, excellent. You know, there's churchgoers all over. There's people in here that probably are saying, well, because I go to Home Fellowship, we teach the Bible. Well, you know what? Thank God we teach the Bible. Honestly, there's so much bad teaching out there. I'm overwhelmed as a pastor. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, it's terrible. What are people going to do? But, you know what? That's not going to save you. It's that relationship with Jesus Christ. Even back in Romans, you know, it says that they get back there. Eyeballs are bad. Our pages are falling apart. But back in Romans 10, it says they did not know the righteousness who comes from God, but they sought to establish their own. Listen, think about it for a second. Even those of you who are saved, right? What did you trust was going to get you into heaven? Think about it. Before you got saved. Be a good person?
I never believed that.
Never believed it? Good.
Didn't think about it.
Good deeds? Tell me you didn't think about it?
I didn't think about it. I don't have any little girl.
You know? What? Yeah.
Maybe you'll think that I'm that God wouldn't send people to.
Oh, yeah, right. They don't. I've got it. But he's just. He's loving, but he's just. A lot of people, you know. Think about it. All religions is man, they're reaching for God. They're trying to establish their own righteousness. When I compare myself to you, not saying you personally, I seem pretty good. Oh, I compare myself to Tom, and I seem pretty bad. Well, I just like when I look at you. Why do you think all these shows, they're all so popular, so I can say, oh, look at those losers. I feel pretty good about myself now. You're trying to establish your own righteousness. Maybe it's because you go to church. Maybe because you read your Bible. Maybe it's whatever it is. You're righteous. You're trying to establish your own righteousness. It's only found in Jesus Christ. That's the righteousness God has provided for you. You will never do enough good works to be righteous. Yes? Standards perfection. Okay, sorry. Okay, go ahead.
A lot of the times when I ask kids, because in order for it to work for them to be saved, they have to know that they're a sinner. So a lot of the times when we ask them, do you think that you're a sinner? They don't know. Because I feel like when you're not saved, like you just said, you compare all the bad things that people do. You know, like, I may lie once in a while, but I don't murder people.
Yeah.
So you think that right. All those good works, all those good qualities about you is going to be enough for you to get to heaven. And I used to think, you know, my grandma goes to church, so I guess she can get me a
family. Absolutely, I know. Really religious.
As long as I do something good, you know.
That's good.
I'm not religious.
I know, whatever, I know what you do. But, you know, the Bible says there's no one like, right? There's no not even one. And God's standard is perfection. So you have two choices. You can either accept God's righteousness, which is Jesus Christ, provided for you, free gift. All you have to do is believe and receive, right? He'll credit you as righteousness. He'll impute it to you as righteousness. He will make you righteous. Or you can trust in your own good works. So all you have to do is be perfect. There's 612 commandments. You know, let's just go through the first 10. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. You know? So, okay, so have you ever not done that? Put yourself maybe first ahead of God? You ever done that? Put someone else ahead of God? You done that? Oh, you're in trouble. Yeah. You ever lied?
Yeah.
Somebody said, no, liar. There you go, you're gone. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever stolen anything? Of course, we've all done things. Have you ever lusted at somebody? No. Yes. Okay, you have. You know, listen, we're all sinners. The best of our righteousness is like filthy rags, the Word of God says. So they thought to establish, which is what every religious person does. I belong to the, you name it, church. Methodist church, Baptist church, Home Fellowship church, Catholic church. I go to church. I went to seminary. I. It's humbling yourself realizing that you're right.
Yeah.
You're a sinner. Savior. And that's what they were doing. It says they thought to establish their own righteousness, and they did not submit to God's righteousness. And that word there in the Greek is hupotazo, and that means to willingly put yourself in subject under. That's probably a complicated way of saying that. Hupotazo. Submit. It means, in this context, to willingly do so. In other words, you're recognizing, I'm willingly putting myself under your authority, Lord. I know what I want to do. I know what my boyfriend or girlfriend want to do. I know what my friends want to do. I know what the world tells me to do. My boss tells me to do. But ultimately, I want to do what you want to do, Lord. As for me and my house, this house, not my home, me and my house, I'm going to follow the Lord. That's where it starts. In Luke chapter 13, yes, you're all looking at me. What about Luke chapter 13? That's a great question. No pressure.
So we're all here.
Good. James rustling gives me nice time to figure out something. There, thank you. Okay, Luke chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus, he said to his people, verse 34. O Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but what does it say?
You are not willing.
Listen, God will not, listen, last chapter, God's sovereignty, his election, his calling, that gives me great confidence, but now you're seeing man's responsibility. You must be willing. God's never going to put you in a full Nelson saying you must follow me, because that would be unloving. That would violate who he is. He will not force you to bend your knee to him.
And that's not a healthy relationship.
It's not.
Nobody wants someone who's forced to love them. They want somebody who loves them because they love them.
Yes, because it would be unloving to do that.
Yes.
And God is love. Yeah. So he's not going to make you. You have to willingly put yourself under his authority. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's not because you have to. Yes, not because you have to. Not like the demon. Oh, I've got to do it. You know, whatever. Fire insurance policy. It's because, you know what? You love me. You died for me. You provided your son for me. Wow. That's so cool. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah.
All right, back in Romans.
Doesn't mean you're going to be happy.
No. It doesn't.
That's that flesh.
You know, nor does it mean that. I'll cover that in a second. But
you're surrounded by it.
It says in verse 4, too, that Christ is the end of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. And it doesn't mean that the law is no longer good. The law has a purpose. It was just that Jesus fulfilled all the righteous requirements of the law. Hello. George, any idea why this is not...
Well, I was trying to find your video.
Okay.
Apparently it doesn't exist anymore.
Okay. All right. That's okay. If it's not the Lord's will, it does exist because I looked at it last night. But that's okay. Well, it might not be the Lord's will, and that's all right.
You must have named it something else. I can't find it.
But I'll show you afterwards.
Yes,
sir. In the meantime.
Maybe it's under That's My King. Anyway, it doesn't matter. All right. But, you know, God has a purpose for the law, okay? So, you know, the law is basically shows us that we're in need of a Savior, okay? It basically, the law says, hey, you're not good enough. You know what I mean? You're not perfect. That's what it does. It has a purpose, right? So, but Christ came to fulfill the law. In Matthew 5:17, he says, hey, don't think I've come to abolish it. You know, I've come to fulfill it. I'm the fulfillment of that. I'm going to make all those righteous requirements the law makes, I'm going to do it for you. That's how much I love you.
That's his righteousness.
And that's his righteousness, yes. And I have a lot of really great slides that will go along with that. But you'll just have to, you'll have to imagine them along with that great video.
Yeah, great.
Oh, hey, fantastic. Look at that. Thank you. It's just not my technology days.
It was working. There it goes.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Now, George, you're doing it, aren't you?
I didn't do that.
Go for it, George.
Is it on? Hey, Matt. Test two.
Okay, there we go. Okay. Romans 3:20, okay, says, no one will be declared righteousness in God's sight by the works of the law. So if you're trying to work your way to God, no one's going to make it. We just become conscious of our sin that way. You know, conscious, it's like an x-ray. It shows you really what's on the inside. You might want to prop your up, think, you know, you're a really good person or whatever. I don't sin. I'm not a sinner. I'm a pretty good person. The law shows you you're really not such a great person. Okay? All right. We already went through all this. Galatians 3:24-25 says, the law was our schoolmaster until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, you're no longer under that schoolmaster, or under that law. It goes on to say this in verse 5. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that comes by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. Listen, there's if you want to be trying to be perfect, then you just have to obey every law. Galatians 3:10-11 says, but those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under a curse. Wow, that's pretty strong. It says, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in God's book of the law. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous live by faith. You just have to keep every law if you want to do it that way. Or you can trust in Christ's righteousness. Yes.
Can you just clarify the verse on what verse 10?
Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11.
Thanks.
Yes. Galatians says, so you just have to obey everything all the time. Never fail. Ever. No one's
addressing.
Yeah. And then when you find out the depth of it, you realize you are really in trouble. Okay. It goes on to say this. It goes on to say in verse 6, but the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. You know, a lot of people, that's what religion is. They're reaching up to God, right? They're trying to bring him down. He's already come down. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what Emmanuel means. God with us. He's come down to us. You can't pull him down by your good works or reach up high enough to do good things to somehow attain his favor. He has come down to you. You know what? Shepherds in those days weren't really cool, nice guys with, you know, you see them like nowadays, all the kids who watch the little shepherd and they have a little staff and they're dressed all cute. Shepherds were dirty, stinking thieves back in those days. You know what I mean? That's what they were. But it's cool that Jesus was introduced to them first. Because I'm a dirty, stinking thief. In other words, like, if I was God, I'd be like, you know, hey, where's Bill Gates' house? Let's be born in that baby. No, I'm going to be born in this state.
He was showing that God's gift is for everyone, even the dirty, stinking shepherds that no one likes.
Let's say it again.
He was showing that the gift of God is for everyone, even those dirty, stinky shepherds that no one likes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But you know, I was thinking about this earlier this weekend, and we...
Sorry, you can't get a mic. It's just you're going to get used to it.
And I was thinking about this week. We, when we're singing the songs and everything, we think about Christ coming down as a baby and all of that. But it hit me this week when I was thinking about that. We're all wanting to do the things that we're talking about so that we can be with the Lord forever in heaven, right?
Okay.
Okay. And so that is paradise. That is perfection. That is all that we're trying to attain. So God went to Jesus and said, okay, you're up here in heaven with me, and you're going to leave all this to go, and exactly what you're talking about now, to become human, to be flogged, the whole thing. But he left that willingly. And so you see that it kind of brings into perspective the amount that he did for us.
Yes.
You know, and he left paradise to come for us. You know,
I mean, as a little baby, I mean, think about that. You're wedding, you're the king of the universe. You created it with the breath of your, and you're wedding yourself. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be mocked. You're going to be spit on. You're going to be rejected by the people that you created and saved. Absolutely.
And yet, we're so unwilling.
Yes. And we're so unwilling, yes. And then there are folks that are not only trying to bring him down, they're trying to dig him up in theology. If I just study the Bible enough, if I just become religious enough, and dig and dig and dig, I'm going to bring him up from the dead. You know, and like that's going to save you. But, you know, Natalie, if you wouldn't mind reading this out loud for us. I don't think I have it on my PowerPoint, but I think it's John 5. Verse 37 to 40. Because again, it's not the religion, it's not even, hey, you go to a good Bible, but, you know, I don't worship the Bible. God speaks to me through the Bible. He's living and active. It's that relationship. But what does it say? There are some people, what does Jesus say to the Pharisees?
And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice nor seen his form. Nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life.
Does that say it all? How many of those of you guys know people who read the Bible are very religious, and they don't know the Lord? Even back then, you refused to come. They talk about me, but you refuse to come to me, Jesus says, to have life. In him is life. He goes on to say this. He says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. Why does he say both? In your mouth and in your heart. Why do you think he says both? Why does it need to be in your mouth and in your heart? Why? Big deal. What do you do?
I can say all kinds of things. Who comes from the heart?
Excellent. Okay, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but it's just, I forgot to take the slide out. This is Chinese for righteousness, okay? Just how God is so cool. The word for righteousness, you know, Christ is our righteousness. You know how the body of the Lamb covers us, you know? So we have Christ's righteousness. The word in Chinese for righteousness is the Lamb. Over me. It's two words. The Lamb over me. That's their word for righteousness. Anyway, that's what we're talking about. Okay, but with what you said, Gary, is Matthew chapter 12, 34. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say.
Look at the verse. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Out of abundance of all.
Well, go back.
Go back. Please.
Wow, that's really good. How do you, man, when you come up with this stuff? That's really good. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. Whatever's in your hearts determine what you say. You know what? You really get angry and it all comes out. You know, listen, we can all put up a front, but it has to be what's going to be in your mouth and your heart needs to match. Or another translation puts it this way. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. That's what Jesus said. And he says this. He goes, the word of faith. Just give me a few more minutes, guys. Okay, the word of faith that we're proclaiming. He says this, and this goes for anybody, any religious, anybody. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and you're saved. If you confess it. Well, you know what? When I was younger in the Lord, people were just trying to get... Okay, just say Jesus Lord. Just say Jesus Lord. Okay. you know, just say Jesus Lord. Okay, Jesus Lord. Okay, you're saved.
What?
Or they try to get them to say, just say these words. Okay, I'm a sinner. Okay, I'm a sinner. Okay, I'm in need of a savior. I'm in need of a savior. Like it's a magic incantation. That word confess there, it means, I think I said this, that's actually what it is. I think it was in Revelation lesson, but in Greek it means to profess, it means to promise, it means to agree with. So when you're confessing that Jesus is Lord, you're agreeing with that he's the Lord. Not that I'm going to promise, I'm professing it, I'm willing to speak it, I'm willing to live it, I'm willing to demonstrate it in my life. Does that make sense? It's not just mouthy speak, right? It's the heart too. Because I've known lots of people that talk about Jesus all day long, but I don't see it in their life. And I'm not here to judge their heart, but if I were them, I would examine myself to see whether or not I was in the faith. Jesus said this, when he talks about confess, you know, I thought, I'll just confess it. Okay, yeah, then I'll just do what I want. Yeah. No, Jesus said this in 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with the inscription, the Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord, there's that word, confesses it, it would be a good idea to turn away from wickedness.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that.
No.
It says must turn away from wickedness. If you're going to confess that Jesus is Lord, that includes turning away from wickedness. Does that make sense? And when it says that Jesus is Lord, that word in Greek is kyrios, and that means supreme authority. It means that Jesus is Lord, not just a word, but that he's the Lord of your life. He's the supreme authority in your life. And I wrote this down. I don't know if I can read my own handwriting here. But can you honestly say that Jesus is your authority? That his word is your authority in your life. Can you say that Jesus is Lord of your life? In other words, not anybody else, your boss, not yourself, not... Is Jesus the Lord? Is his word the authority? Is he the supreme authority in your life? That's what being a Lord is. You confess Jesus is Lord, that's what it means. Not that you're never going to struggle, right? Sometimes I might wrestle against something, right? Oh, dang it. Oh, I screwed up again. Okay, but I know, Lord, that I got to bend the knee here because your word says, you know, be angry and sin not. You know, okay, I sin in my anger, Lord. Whatever the case may be, Jesus is Lord means that he is your authority. You willingly submitted. Put yourself under his submission. He is either Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. You need to choose. I can't choose that for you. And I don't say this to make anything or boast about it. I can say Jesus is Lord. I'm not saying I don't struggle, I don't mess up, I don't sin sometimes, but he is my Lord. He is my authority. Not my wife, not my church, not you, not my friends, not my kids. Jesus. I will submit to his word. I'll submit to him. And not because I have to, but he's going to. It's because I love him. And I want to. If you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And he says, the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. The one who trusts in him. Yes, David.
They say that the Lord's word does not come back void.
That's right. It will never come back void. It will accomplish the purpose that he set it out to do. So that's a good question. And you'll find out as you walk this Christian walk, you're going to find a lot of talkers. And don't focus on them. You focus on him. Anyone who trusts in him will not be put to shame. There'll be a day when we all stand before the Lord, and you're not going to stand there because of your grandma, or your wife, or your husband, or your pastor, or your church. What have you done with Jesus? Have you willingly yielded in And if you haven't, I'm asking you to do that today. Not for my sake, for his sake. I want to just take a minute and pray before we close. And if you would just join me in prayer right now. Lord, you know where everybody's at. You know the hearts of everybody. We can say whatever we want. Lord, sometimes I hear the words, but you know the hearts of people. You see us. You knit us together in our mother's womb. You can see. You know everything about us. Lord, would you look into the hearts of each one of us? Lord, if we're not saved, if you're not really Lord of our life, we're not willingly submitting to you. We're not willingly submitting our hearts to you and to your word as authority, Lord. If we're not confessing, Lord, not turning away from, will you show us that we're not doing that? And would you either help us to put us on the right path or show us that we are not saved? I know there's nothing I can say that would save anybody, but you can, Lord. Would you please, Lord, show us that we need you as a Savior? We can't trust in our own works, our own righteousness, Lord. There's nothing we can do. It's like filthy rags compared to your standard, which is perfection. But yet you've provided a way out for us. You've provided you, Jesus, yourself, your Son, that we could have your righteousness, Lord. You died on the cross. You rose again from the dead, Lord, that we could have whoever would believe in you, whoever would believe in you, would not perish but have everlasting life, Lord. I pray right now for anyone in this building who has not yet bowed the knee, that they will do it. And not because of emotion, not because of pressure, but because they want to please you from this day forward. And Lord, will you help them, even in their own words, to just say, I want to follow you. I know I'm a sinner, Lord God. I know I'm in need of a Savior. I know I'm not right, but I want to be right with you. And I want to love you and serve you forever. And that you would do that supernatural transformation, that work from the inside out, in somebody's life today. Will you speak to them? Will you change the life, Lord God? I ask that you would do that. And we ask that together. And we say thank you for your Son, Jesus, whom we love. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, is there any closing comments before we go? Anything I've forgotten? Okay. All right, there's some stuff out there, all that for sale. If you want to buy it for Christmas, all the proceeds are going to help the Christian school. We love you. We'll look forward to seeing you Tuesday at Men's Night, Thursday at Jingle Bell Run, or Friday at Small Group, or Saturday. Saturday at Christmas Eve service.
Yeah.